I want to do something that's a little bit different this morning, because we've had some weeks of quite intense thinking about what God is calling us to do, challenging us, where the future is taking us, and thinking about what God's heart is for us as a church and where that might take us in the future. And I've thrown all sorts of challenges at you. You've been challenged by visiting speakers to soar like eagles and so on. This morning, I thought I'd try and do something just slightly different to capture the sense of this day and to think not so much about what's coming, but what you've already got. First, did you appreciate being led in our worship this morning as Hazel reminded us about the glory of God? Wasn't it wonderful to be reminded and then think about the God of whom we've just sung? How great is our God? Is that good? Hazel, thank you. Did you appreciate Sam playing the keyboards for us and our music? Blimey, if it had been me on the Jew's harp, we'd have been really struggling. Thank you, Sam, and Steve, who plays for us on other occasions. We're appreciative of Richard this morning. The fact that you had words on the screen for each of those songs. And at the moment, you're able to hear me because Phil's sitting in the corner and he's doing his bit. Do you appreciate those people you already have around you that are this church that God has given to us? Yeah? You're a funny bunch. But you bless us. I include myself in that funny bunch very much. Well, today I want to think a little bit and reflect on the importance of the church and what God has given to us, and do so because of the very special nature of this day, and see some of the parallels of this important day and what we might learn from them. So you can tell me, what's the special day today? Oh, I'm sure I heard two things there. Some said it is Mother's Day. Others said it is Mothering Sunday. You're right, John. It is Mother's Day. But actually, originally, it was Mothering Sunday. It's both. But do you know why the difference is and where those differences come from, I wonder? First of all, if you go to Tesco, I reckon 95% of the cards there will say it's Mother's Day. Because that is the secular day that this has become. But that stems from an older historic day called Mothering Sunday that is hundreds of years old. Literally hundreds. And if you go back, it is quite interesting that that day was very different from what Mother's Day is today. There are all sorts of ideas, all sorts of themes about what might have created the original Mothering Sunday. But there seems to be this principle, before Baptist churches existed, before there were Methodists, when most people went to their parish church, there would be kind of two kinds of churches. The normal, small parish church that most were involved with, and then a cathedral. The cathedral locally considered the mother church. And once a year, people from the local parish churches were encouraged to go along to the mother church, where all the big ceremonies, the baptisms, all that sort of stuff would be taking place. And it was considered going back to that place where lots of nurturing, lots of teaching originally came from. That's one theory. Please come in. Now we know the Holy Spirit's with us, everything will be fine. Back in 1644, someone wrote something about Mothering Sunday. He was a guy from Essex, and he was traveling to Worcester, and he said something interesting was happening. He noted that all the children and the godchildren seemed to be visiting the head or chief of the family, and they seemed to be having a real celebration together. And that's the second part of this. What seemed to then happen is, on this particular Sunday, people went back to their home, their place of origin. They went back to where they were brought up, to that country village, which it usually was for most of them, and they had opportunity to be with their family once more. And often the person that nurtured them in those times would be the kind of matriarch, that individual who showed so much attention, always listened to your concerns and looked after you. So Mothering Sunday is also then adopted this idea of going back to your home family. And children would make their way back. Of course, one of the then things that came out of that is, in those days when most people from 10 years old or older were in service or worked out on the land, they would be given one day off in the year where they'd have that opportunity to go back and be with parents. Can you imagine a 10-year-old only seeing their parents one day in a year? So these are some of the origins. Back in the 17 and 1800s, it began to be much more about apprentices and those in service having a day off. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, it almost died out completely, and we almost forgot about Mothering Sunday until the Americans decided it was a really good idea to have Mother's Day. And they introduced it just before the First World War. And when American GIs came over here during the Second World War, they reminded us, and this institution was brought back into play. And now we have the tension, Mothering Sunday against Mother's Day. But Mothering Sunday is about recognizing home, understanding your sense of where your roots are, your community, a place where you belong. I want to touch on that today, because I wonder whether you realize that God has given you exactly that. Not everybody has a place where they can go back to. Maybe their family situation wasn't brilliant, and they didn't have a wonderful time to look back on. But God has given all of those who enter his fellowship a place to belong, and it's called his church. I want to think about what Scripture tells us about this place of belonging. And I wonder if you know how special a place this is. It's that place. That's just one example and just part of it. The fabric isn't shown. It's not this. That's just a building. Yes, I shouldn't touch it too hard. It is you guys. You are the church that God has gifted to you as a place of belonging. And that's what we were beginning to read in that passage that that Sam read to us this morning. And I want us to reflect on it. The church is not a place that you attend like a football match or a restaurant where you go to get the food you want. It is not a place where we are consumers, though sadly it often can become that. It is not something that we do like going to the gym, like a spiritual activity of some sort. The church is the people that you are. We come to be God's church when we gather. And it is a place of belonging when Christ invites you to know him as Lord and Savior. Do you realize you are adopted into God's kingdom, becoming part when you are born into it? You don't become a member of the church because you were born in Britain or in England, or because you are European, or mummy and daddy went to church. That's just human heredity and ancestry. We are born into the church when we ask Christ to become our spiritual father, to adopt us once more, and we become his children. That's why it is a place of belonging. This week, did you by any chance catch any of the TV program? I've just forgotten what it's called. Blue Planet Live, thank you. It's the memory. Blue Planet Live, did anyone watch it? It's on iPlayer. Watch it. And you'll see this character come out. He's a green turtle. They travel. I intended to bring with you, actually, a small egg. I just realized I left it at home. It's a turtle egg that was an empty. It had hatched out. It comes out around this sort of size, works its way out of a hole buried under the beach, this deep down, works its way out, makes its way into the sea, and then swims in the sea for years until when it's this size, which is about 1.5 meters in length, it makes its way back to that very same beach. It could have been round the world again and again and again, and it comes back to the beach, comes back to the place where it was born. It knows its place. Watch the program if you have an opportunity. Watch the next one because it'll be amazing. But I noticed that they showed you something else that took place with these turtles. Every now and again, they turn up in a certain area of the Barrier Reef off Australia, and they just kind of hang around. And they hang around because they've done thousands and thousands of miles getting covered in algae and crustacea and barnacles and all the rest of it, and they allow the fish to come and clean them. They call it a cleaning station. And they just turn up, and sometimes they'll just float like this and be cleaned by the fish around them. And other times they'll actually rest on the coral and kind of have a kip while all these animals clean them. There's a sense that they're part of something so much bigger, as you are, as we are, as part of God's church. But we come together, and in the process, we bless one another. They had a much bigger animal there. Do you know what this is? It's a whale shark. Very good. It's the biggest fish in the world. About 9 meters. That's probably from here to the back of the church. 9 meters. And they just tore their way through the water, mouths open very often, taking in huge quantities of algal plants. And they too get covered in stuff. So as they wander around, they have these little organisms, like the wrasse fish, or they're kind of parasite cleaners, that cleanse the animal as they go. Isn't it astonishing that in nature, God has given a world that is so complex that he has one organism working alongside another organism, mutually blessing one another. Well, that's the church. That is the blessing of the church. And that's what Sam and Hazel and Richard and all the other people who do so much for us bless us with. This is the gift of God's church that he's given to us. When we read in Acts chapter 2, we read about the people coming together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to this wonderful thing that God had given to them through the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God in the process. And the people looked around and they thought, wow, isn't it interesting? That's the picture that we have of the church. People coming together, supporting one another, committed to one another, being blessed by one another, and in the process, praising God. And we'll come to that in just a moment. When that community that God has given to us really works, some positive things come. One of the other lessons that comes from a community working from Mothering Sunday is the bringing and the sharing of gifts. It's not just a place that we belong. It's a place where we bring and we share gifts. Originally, it would be children taking flowers to mum. They wouldn't go to Tesco because it didn't exist. They'd get them at the side of the road. You can't do that now. It's illegal. Wildlife and Countryside Act 1980 something or other. Don't pick flowers. But that's one of the things that's part of this lovely tradition that Mothering Sunday represents. Recognizing that we want to take something. To take something and say, thank you. Thanks for being mum. Thank you for nurturing me. Thank you for looking after me. They had simnel cake. Do you know about simnel cake? Don't eat it very much, do we? Isn't that one of the sad things, of course, of not having Barbara with us? I'll bet you this year Barbara would have asked if she could bring a simnel cake because she loved it. Simnel cake has 11 little blobs of marzipan on the top, representing the 11 disciples, not included Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. The sense of community coming together. Things that we bring, things that we share. When you came this morning, did you come thinking, I hope he's going to say something that will make me cheerful this morning. I hope he's not going to talk for too long. I hope that person who leads or gives me hymns to sing, you're going to give the hymns I like to sing. Or did you think to yourself, what can I bring? What can I bring today that will bless this community? All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Do you realize that you're part of one family, that God has created here? And you all have gifts. And those gifts are for the blessing, for the sustaining, for the encouragement of the people around you. And we need your gifts. And you know, sometimes when our singing is struggling because we don't know the hymn very well, it's your voice together with the one next to you that lifts everyone else up, that allows us to praise God. And Hazel led us this morning uniquely, her style. When Sandra leads us, she leads Sandra style. When Chris does, the same. We all come with a little bit of who we are, but we bless one another in the process. I wonder whether that was our attitude when we came. Lord, what can I do to bless my brothers and sisters this morning? You know, all know this guy, don't you? JFK. This is a photograph from his inaugural speech. And in part of that, right at the end of his speech, he gave those very famous, amazingly inspirational words. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Brilliant. Superb. All the leaders could give us inspirational words like that all the time. I wonder if he got them from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, who said, in humility, consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Is that part of what we do when we come and we gather together to think about what might be the needs of those around you? Do you know, you can do that so easily. You don't have to lead up here. You don't have to go and start at your grand age learning how to play the keyboard. But you can be prepared to just listen. You know, when we have tea and coffee afterwards, You could tell everybody about your woes, about the things that you've done this week. Believe me, I could just give you Friday. I could tell you, talk about so many things that went wrong on Friday. When Lorinda came home, I think she thought I was so depressed. But I won't. You could do that, or you could listen to what someone else has been through and pick them up. That's what the church does uniquely. We can be there for one another with an expectation of looking to their interests, not just our own. I wonder whether you noted that photograph I showed at the beginning of the child bringing flowers. Could you imagine that child's face? You can only see the back of it, really. Can you imagine the delight on that child's face as she gives mum her flowers? And you know what children are sometimes like? They get flowers and then they hold them and they're not really concentrating on what they're holding. And they end up walking and they drag them through the brambles. And by the time they present mum with the flowers, it's just like some stems of grass that she's holding up. But she is so delighted to give mummy this gift. And mum would never criticize, as our God will never criticize what you bring to him. The child full of delight. Let me ask you the question. Were you full of delight? Was your heart full of delight this morning when you came thinking, what can I bring? Lord, what songs are we going to sing? So what can I pour back out for you? Which brings me to the final thing. Mothering Sunday gives us another picture. There's usually someone who is the central focus. If it's Mother's Day, you want to consider this day, it's of course Mum. But Mothering Sunday too was all about that person who specifically nurtured, who brought them up. Do you notice that was usually a female? The male would be the person who may well have provided financially by working, but it's usually the mum or the grandmother who provides the nurturing, who listens. I wonder who it was in your family. Whatever generation you want to go back to, there's usually someone to whom you bring and you give honor. For me, it was this lady, the one on the right, my nan. My nan was such a special lady. A lady of God. But she held the family together. She was the one who knew the birthdays. She was the one who knew what everyone was going through. She was the one who listened. She was the one who spoilt us. Sandra, I bet you do a bit of spoiling of your grandchildren. Of course you do. Janet and Nigel, I'm sure they've done exactly the same. That's what you do. Grandparents, there's usually someone there who you just know is that's the person when you're a little child, you just want to go and wrap your arms around and say thank you. Well, for me, and yes, that is me, by the way. Still got those socks, I think. That's me on the left. I hate to think how old I was then, how long ago that was. Do you know, I remember one occasion in particular. I was about 19, 20. I'd been going out with someone at university for 2 years. And on Valentine's Day, I was back in Warrington at the time doing my PhD at Liverpool. And on Valentine's Day, I got a card through the post. Yay! Except it was a card saying, Steve, you may have noticed things are not, etc., etc. It was a goodbye. On Valentine's Day, who does that? I was so gutted, cheesed off. But you know, the person I remember who comforted me most was that lady, my grandmother. She was the one, she was angry on my behalf. She was so hurt because she knew me and she cared about me. And in a family, there's usually somebody who takes that role. Did anybody by any chance watch? Thank you. MasterChef. I know. Anybody see MasterChef this week? Anybody know who that is? Raymond Blanc. Raymond Blanc. I think it's fair to say he is one of the most famous chefs in the world. That's fair, isn't it? Is that fair? I'm pretty sure. Raymond Blanc. For 35 years, he's had not one but two Michelin stars in the restaurant that he owns in Oxfordshire that I can't afford to go to, but has phenomenal food. He is the very top, at the pinnacle of his career, his calling in life, if you like. Raymond Blanc makes food like you would not believe. But if you saw MasterChef this week, you'll have had a little glimpse. But that's not the thing that struck me. Do you know what really struck me in that program? Was the way he dealt with those around him. He's the boss of his restaurant. He has such a reputation. People treat him with such awe, and he is utterly down to earth. And he had young people coming up to him and people who were nervous in what they were cooking. And he just put their arms around them and he just encouraged them and say to them, come on, no, you could do it like this. Let me show you. He got alongside them and he nurtured them. That is so unusual for someone who is at the top of their career, but that's what Raymond Blanc did. How much more the head of this church, Jesus Christ, does that for you. He is gentle. He listens. And these verses from Matthew 11 remind us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He's compassionate. He listens. He knows your hurts. And this is the head of the church. Not me, not some bishop, not the Pope, not the Queen. Jesus is the head of this institution of the church that God has blessed you to be part of. Wow. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Do you know the blessing that you have in the church? The greatest gift that you can really offer when you come to church is an offering to the one who is here with us this morning. The one that Hazel pointed out represents the glory of God in Jesus. The most beautiful thing you can do is come and just say, Lord, I don't know what's going to go on today. I don't know what the hymns are. I don't know what someone's going to say to us, but I'm here for you. I'm here to give you honor, to give you glory, to worship you, to praise you, because he's worthy of all that. That's your Savior, Jesus. Do you know, in the reason I gave you the illustration, not just of my grandmother, but of Raymond Blanc, was I got the sense as I watched this man operating and saw him in his restaurant laughing and joking and encouraging folks, even when they'd made a mistake and cooked something that looked dreadful, more like the sort of thing I'd do, was that he just got alongside them and he encouraged them to get back up. When you mess up, and you will mess up, Jesus will never criticize you. He will never rip you apart. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But he will gently lift you back up. And I'll say, okay, let's find another way to do this, shall we? Let's do it better. That's the person who's the head of the church, which is the gift that you belong to and you're invited to be part of. And one final thought. This week, I happened to note the things that you probably saw as well. Friday, are we in Europe? Are we out of Europe? That's not why I was depressed, by the way. It was because of other things taking place. I've switched that off. But this week was the week when MPs, the people that lead our nation, were invited to come to a consensus. They had eight possible options to decide for how to lead this country forward, and they couldn't find consensus with one of them. Absolutely nothing. Why is that? Is that because they are evil people? Is it because they really don't care about you? Is it because they don't listen? Is it because they are stupid? Is it because they are incompetent? Actually, I don't think it's any of those things. It is because they are human beings. And human beings will always struggle with the situation like this that we have in this country, which is an almost impossibility to resolve. I really do believe it is because they're struggling with a fundamental humanity. They come with a bias, each one of them. They come with a political agenda. That's the nature of a human being. Jesus doesn't do that. He leads us in a different way. And on Friday, when I was reflecting on all of this, I came across this verse from Ecclesiastes, which I thought was just so beautiful and typical to present on the day we were supposed to leave Europe. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. Though a person may be weighed down by misery, and that might be the way you feel about the whole situation, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? That's the reason your MPs cannot resolve this without all the pain and grief, because they're not God. Jesus is the head of the church. You're invited to stand alongside him, and he can tell you where things are going. Mothering Sunday presents us with some lovely illustrations and examples about how a community should operate. Well, that's what the church is. We are God's community. So I want to encourage you to do those three things. Firstly, to come and recognize this beautiful gift that God has given you, that you belong to if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You belong in the church. Second, to recognize it as something that you can bring and share your gifts with. Be blessed by others, like the cleaning station for the green turtles. And third, the most wonderful thing of all, coming back to the glory of Christ, that he's the head of this church. And that's why this is an amazing thing. We've got Christ in charge of it. What a gift. Let's pray.